Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 9, verses 18 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 38. Jesus has been teaching the disciples of John, actually. He's been teaching the disciples of John, and he's suddenly interrupted with an urgent matter. A little girl, we read, is dead. Her father falls at Jesus' feet and asks for a miracle. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. Well, this is one of four miracles in our text. In 18 through 34, we see four miracles. The first is this curing of this woman with this issue of blood, and then Jesus raises this girl from the dead, and then he gives sight to two blind men. And then finally, he heals a demon who is oppressing this man, making him mute. He heals the man who's oppressed by the demon who is mute. And what we see in these four miracles, very simply, is Jesus' authority, his powerful authority over death and disease, over disability and demons even. No witness to these miracles could reasonably deny Jesus' authority. They see it in the power. But they could call into question, perhaps, the question of the source of that authority. The question we need to ask from this text then is simple. Where does Jesus get his authority? Where does he get his power? In other words, who is Jesus? Is he the servant of the Lord, or is he a servant of Satan, as he is accused of later? Who is Jesus? The crowds, we're told, have no answer. They marveled, but they didn't have anything to say. And the Pharisees, as to be expected, they had the wrong answer. They said he casts out demons by the prince of demons. In other words, Jesus is a servant of Satan. That's what the Pharisees said. The right answer, of course, is found in the words of those who were healed. The father said to Jesus, come and lay your hands on my daughter and she will live. And the woman said, if only I touch his garments, I will be made well. And they believed that Jesus was able to do these things for him. But the most explicit answer comes from the words of the two blind men. Who is Jesus? They say, have mercy on us, son of David. That's who Jesus is. He is the son of David. The blind men, even though they could not see, could see this much. They could see that Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise made in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, the Davidic covenant, where the Lord promised David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne and his kingdom forever. Well, Jesus is the son of David. He is the son with an eternal kingdom, with an eternal throne. And so we should not be surprised then to see in verses 35 through 38, Jesus busily at work proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He's proving that his kingdom has in fact come and is coming because he is healing and he is having compassion on all these people, just as it was prophesied he would do. Well, our passage concludes with a call to prayer. First, Jesus encourages us. He says that the harvest is plentiful. This harvest is the harvest of elect souls, those who will be saved. But Jesus laments. He says, oh, but the laborers are few. There's not enough of them, it seems. Well, how will these elect souls ever hear the gospel? Jesus says, pray. You see, only God can raise up pastors and evangelists and preachers. Only God can equip ministers to herald the good news of God's grace for the salvation of sinners. And so Jesus calls you to pray. He calls us to pray. He says to pray, Lord, send out your laborers that sinners would be saved. Well, let us hear now the word of the Lord beginning in Matthew 9, verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, For the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put aside outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. And as they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Well, thus ends the reading of God's word.